Leave us here beneath the crumbling stone from the land of dreams where the buffalo roam.
Hi, this is Tiffany the Last, and I'm in the tour bus with the Samples outside of Cane's in Mission Beach. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Count me in when you're gonna revolt. It's been a long time and it's nobody's fault. It always seems like the good die young, the rich stay rich and the poor get none.
Last year, the band celebrated its 20th anniversary, and I wanted to ask you guys mostly what sticks out in the 20 years.
What sticks out for me is the ability that this career that I've chosen affords me this lifestyle still. And so that to maintain that for this many years, I feel like I've beat the system on some level. So that sticks out the most for me.
You did it. You made your dream come true.
Well, and it's so volatile still, you know. It could be over tomorrow in 20 seconds or 10 years, whatever it may be. But certainly, yeah, do it. I can go to bed at night and know that I've made my own decisions and some choices. Not all of them have worked out, but at least I can own that.
And what kind of advice do you have for bands that are starting out and how to get into the grassroots, building a fan base?
Well, I would say that before even just focusing on what fan base, what's your reason to even being a band? What's your objective? I mean, do you just want to be, I don't know, you know, what's your point? And I think that focusing more on what your point would be, I think is then going to open itself up and lend itself to whatever the grassroots, those are all just efforts. Those are byproducts of once you've got your belief in yourself down that will come from self-promotion and stuff like that. You'll have the grassroots thing, but I mean, is anyone singing about what's going on right now, the environment and the state of the political everything? I mean, I just don't know if finding ways to go, hey, here I am, and flashing your arms in the air for 15 minutes was never my intention. So I would focus on what the objective of what the purpose, expressing yourself, it's art, focusing more on that kind of stuff.
Has your style changed, or were you like always in high school doing creative writing? Or
no, funny enough, that's what ended my time in school, was a poem I wrote about a childhood pet. And from that poem I was told that I am mentally retarded or potentially have major learning disabilities.
What grade were you in?
Eighth.
What, so you grade? Said, screw you, I'm dropping out?
Well, no, I got an H on this paper. I thought I had done this great thing, and it was an A. I thought it was an A with a top cut off. I'm like, whoa! And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, I bring it home, and it meant hold. Like, we got to speak to Forrest Gump's mother. So, sure enough, they brought me into school, and we had this long discussion, and they were setting me up to go to a school in Brandon, Vermont for retarded children, and that's for writing. So I don't know if I got too much positive reinforcement in writing in school, but for writing songs, it's always been from the same place, and that's finding a place where your least concern is its judgment. And that's when I was 16 years old, I didn't care. And it just so happens that with melody and the right band and through the right mechanisms and the right formula, it actually gets a nice, pleasing delivery, and then it's appealing. But the writing process is exactly the same as far as simplicity.
Do you, the rest of the band, help partake in writing the grooves with the instruments, or?
They are contribute 100% whatever they would like to with the instrument that they play, and in most cases, what feels best or. But we've only done two albums in this form, two or three, so we haven't completely established that. And one of the main reasons has been the in and out with band members. It's really difficult, and I'm restricted to play specific songs from my past because of that, and I'm just very leery of it. But they put their touch on it, their stamp.
Back to one of your most recent albums. The title is Rehearsing for Life. I find that really a cool title. I was just wondering, how did you come up with that?
You know, that's funny. I think that was originated from an ex-guitarist, prior guitarist, named Dan Blondin, I think. And it had something to do with his brother, who he'd lost to melanoma. And somewhere along the way, he told Dan that this isn't a rehearsal or something.
When I'm listening to your guys' songs, they paint, you know, real, like you mentioned, the environment. You can see a whole vision and the story going. I was just wondering, have you ever watched a movie and thought, I wish I could have done the soundtrack to that to help with the process?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, like, which ones?
The Penguin movie. Oh. Summer Rental.
Okay.
It's true.
So what's the song from that one?
The one that Suki Suko plays on a little Casio. Love Boat. Life's greatest reward. I see all kinds of movies like Coriana Scotzi and stuff that are just really neat, sped up things that I would love to do stuff like that.
Have you worked on a soundtrack?
My own stuff I have, yep. Tried with some other things, but not always has it worked. But I throw it out there. I'm totally open to it.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's just not its time yet.
One question I wanted to ask you was the song Phyllis Shaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites. I was wondering where you were when you wrote that.
Where I was in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, in 1982 or 83. I moved down. That was my first big journey out of Vermont, and I moved down with some friends for the summer in a place. And I had an acoustic guitar down that summer, and I was just, it was really inspired by that summer and living down there. Cape Cod, the ocean, the beach, like this kind of environment.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's nice.
Diamond waves, you know, when you see the waves just right and the sun's in a certain spot, they're like diamonds everywhere.
A couple fan questions. One was, you have a very loyal fan base. Do you notice fans in the crowd that have been with you since the beginning? And what is that like?
Oh, well, yeah, no, there are some periodically where that happens. I think they know we're still keeping it real. And they have, like, offspring now, a lot of them, which is cool. So,
yeah.
Like, I'm starting to get different generations and stuff. I still think coming out of the 90s, it just seems like 5 years ago to me, but for some reason it's just going back in time. So it all feels the same to me, as far as the same kids get it, the same people get it. There's still something very heartfelt in this music that transcends kind of time. So I don't notice that any time has gone by at all whatsoever.
Two more for you. Will you be releasing more solo work?
I'd like to. I would like to.
You record all your stuff in Vermont?
No, we've recorded 3 albums in California, 2 in Colorado, maybe 3 or 4 in Colorado, 1 in Ithaca, New York, some studios in Vermont we've done a little bit of work, but we're starting to record in July.
Oh.
So we're going to start building a new album.
What's really important to you with the environmental state right now?
Well, I
noticed your shirt here.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly no preacher. You know, there's no way I will ever, ever try and put myself in the position of being judged as somebody that can preach as to what's best or not best. But I do think it's worthy of discussion and, like, hauling out it from the closets and throwing in the living room and looking at overpopulation and, you know, just the exponential growth and the J-curve and how quick things are going like this and peak oil and the whole reality. I mean, you can see it. It's off in the distance, it's just like, there's too much eating up and not enough energy for it anymore. And I don't know if that's being reflected so much in our culture with music. A little bit probably here and there. There's certainly some things, but I think that'd be a great thing. I mean, what is everyone waiting for? It's just an insane, huge, like, 60s again, mm-hmm. except that we're talking global. It's not just a way of thinking and keeping your hair long. It's like we've evolved a long way in 20, 30, 40 years. And now where is it? And I think about it constantly.
No other place could ever mean the same. Oh, mean the same. All the mountains are going up in flames. Whoever stops to really smell the rose. Where the Columbine and the wild rivers flow. Oh, how I love her. I smile above her. Oh, how I love her. I smile above her.
So in tune with the natural aspect of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all your songs, not all of them, but many of them do focus on nature. And you've been writing this way for over 20 years. Does it bring you satisfaction now that it seems like more people are starting to become conscious of it? And you're like, hey, didn't you guys see this way back then? Not more than just your fans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I've never looked at it that way because it's never too late to see things, I mm-hmm. don't think. And, you know, and who knows what influences I was getting back then, because there's a lot of other people influencing me that were way ahead of the game, way, way ahead. So I've just, you know, tuned in here and there, not too much, but enough in the music where it gives it a nice platform to get out there.
Like who was a couple influences?
A couple influences was Carl Sagan. A lot of naturalists were influences.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Torrey Peterson, people that had their pulse, right? Jacques Cousteau.
All right, cool, thanks. And one more question. They wanted to know, what gear do you use?
What gear? I use a Roland Jazz Chorus amp. I have 5 foot pedals, I think. I have a tremolo, delay, compressor, distortion, and a chorus that I hardly ever use. And then I have Ibanez electric guitar. I use what size gauge strings? These are good things to know. 9, gauge 9, and now I'm using a thicker pick, the green pick. So, but compression, that's the secret. Compressor will take you from the garage to the stage.
You guys agree? Does anybody want to say anything else? Sorry, we've been just focusing in. Okay.
You guys got some stuff going?
Yeah, you guys got anything you want to say to your fans? I mean, your guys' fan base is huge, you know?
Yeah, that's how it stays afloat, the fans. I mean, I think, going back to what you said before, I mean, you know, recognizing the earlier fans, I mean, that happens a lot, mm-hmm. definitely, absolutely.
It's always great seeing them, too, you know, because I've still been there longer than them somehow, as far as seeing us have something to do with the samples, unless they were there at the first rehearsal in Boulder.
Is that where you guys formed, in Boulder?
Mm-hmm. Boulder, Colorado.
And where was your first gig?
First gig was at Talagi's, a bar called Talagi's. It was Easter Sunday, 1987, I think. Uh-huh. And it turns out this year's our 20th year.
Oh, this year, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's how we started. And did you know how we got our name, the samples?
No, tell me.
That is from eating supermarket samples of food. Little bits of cheese and crackers and whatnot.
Yeah, I gotta love the samples.
Yes, and I just had 2 of them today out on the corner here.
Uh-huh.
Little ice cream samples.
Yeah, I gave you an ice cream sample.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. You said sample? I was like, huh?
Yeah.
I was like, so I haven't made... Somebody knows me? No, it was cool.
That's when you know you make it.
Yeah.
Sample, and it's not. They're not trying to give you one.
I rock.
Oh, sure.
No, you're a sample. That's when you know you make it. I haven't heard that yet. I hear, sample? Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what would you like? What flavor? I'm like, what?
Okay, thanks so much for your time and more Pirate Pods. And if you guys wouldn't mind just giving us a pirate R or your pirate impression.
Jared's our resident pirate.
All right.
We're all
come on.
Pirates.
Arr, me buccaneers.